I just needed help. I didn't know what kind of help. I knew I was, my heart was troubled, my mind was troubled, my body was racked from years and years of drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and all that garbage. And I just knew I needed help. And I cried out for the mercy of Almighty God. I cried out for the mercy of Almighty God. You know, the mercy of God is one of the things that you look in the Word of God, it'll stop God in his tracks. God responds to people that cry out for the mercy of God. God responds to people who cry out for the mercy of God. And then I was here, and gosh, I'd been here 8 years, and I'd had a desire to serve on the mission field, and I knew who I wanted to serve with. I wanted to go down to Guatemala and serve with a particular ministry, so I'm sitting here, and so I said, well, I'll go to Bible college. And I went to Bible college and graduated from Bible college in May of 1990. And I still wanted to go on the mission field. And I talked to Pastor about it, and you know, Pastor said, hold steady. I said, okay. Amen. I'll hold steady. And I really wanted to go on the mission field, and I kept holding steady. And golly, I'd been to Bible college, and you know, at Calvary Cathedral International, we have the best ministers in the world. I mean, you got Pastor Bob Nichols, and then we had Evangelist Dwight Thompson, and we had all these people that would come here and minister the Word of God. And I'm telling you, if you were in Bible college and then you attended all the services and then you attended all the prayer meetings we had every morning, I mean, you get filled up. It was like a canary sitting in a cage eating all day long. I mean, you just had to do something. You had to do something. And man, I was about ready to pop. And then we had Evangelist Rodney Howard Brown come. And that just, you know, that just popped the bag. I was full, and then he came. I was full, and we had the gentleman from Scotland, Philip Cameron. Yeah, and you know, he broke that, how many generations, 7 generations of alcoholism in his family, and he broke it just like that. The power of God broke generational curses from alcoholism. And then we had him in January. You know, that was after Bill Clinton had been elected, and he was coming into office that January of 93, and we had Philip Cameron. And Pastor had cried out, God, we must have revival. We need revival in our land. And then Evangelist Tim Story started coming. And then Kenneth E. Hagin came. And I mean to tell you, it was pretty awesome. The presence of God, the power of God was so strong. And I mean, he had his praise singers, and that platform was about 3 times as tall, probably. At least twice, if not 3 times as tall as this top step from there. And man, they were flying off, and there were 2,000 people in there, and it was packed. And Brother Hagin couldn't stand up to minister. He just leaned over the pulpit and laughed, and I couldn't stand to minister. We were like them that dream. That was his scripture. That was it, but he never, that's about as far as he got. We were like them that dream. And he was just laid over the pulpit and laughing, I'll never forget that young man that started preaching, because nobody else could say anything, and he started talking about how it was the mercies of God that we weren't consumed. The mercies of God that we weren't consumed. And then And then right after that, more Tim's story and meeting night after night after night, and people, the power of God coming into that place, and people being healed and lives being transformed. And then evangelist, now Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, came in June of 1993. And for a week or two, it didn't look like a whole lot was happening, but then all of a sudden it broke. And there were 2,000 people every night in there. In the mornings, there were a lot of people. I don't know how many. I think I was at every service, even though I wasn't on staff at the time. But I was in every service. And y'all, your parents sat right. We all sat together right there. And it was so tangible. The presence of God was so thick. And it was, the glory of God was so tangible that nobody had to say anything. I mean, I've already talked much more than any. The man of God could walk into the door, and the presence of God came in, and it was just, it was thick. But it was a joy. But there was weeping, and there was joy. And there were people that were getting delivered from all kinds of things, and families being restored. And it was the most glorious, wonderful, beautiful time in the presence of God. And it was tangible. You could sense the presence of God. You could almost feel, you could reach out. And I remember it was during those meetings that I would drive home and cry out to God for Him. God, I want to be used. I want to be used more. I want You to use me. God, I just don't want to live life. I don't want to live a normal life. I want You to use me. And I'd drive home every night from those meetings thinking, God. And then I had a meeting with Pastor. Pastor and Dr. Stumbo and I had met with a gentleman that was, the business administration position was open here at the church. And so Pastor and Dr. Stumbo and I were meeting. We met with this one guy that was about, at the time, I guess about 60 years old. And I mean, he had a resume. He was, resume-wise, he was perfect for the job. He was perfect for the job. I mean, he had done it before. He had been a business administrator of a ministry and had taken the ministry from down here, way up here. I mean, he had seen church growth. I mean, you know, it was just, it was, it, on the natural. That's why we can't look in the natural, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to look at things through the eyes of the Spirit. In the natural, it was perfect. It was ideal. And we said, okay, Evangelist Rodney Howard Brown's coming, and you just come and enjoy the services. And after he's gone, we'll talk and we'll finalize this. He wanted to do it. We wanted him to do it. After he's gone, we'll finalize this, and you come on. You know, we'll continue on. Well, gosh, we had been through about a month of those meetings. You know, every morning, 10 a.m. to 2, whatever. And then every night from 7 to 11, 12, 1, whatever. And I mean, night after night after night, 1,200 people in the baptismal, you know, being baptized in water. And I mean, it was just, it was Holy Ghost wall to wall. And we never saw the guy. We saw him like once or twice. And I mean, he came for a minute and he left. And we looked at each other and said, man, there's no way. He said, you have to have a heart for this ministry to do what Pastor wants to do. And so Pastor, we went out and had breakfast one morning. And Pastor said, what about you? And I said, of course, I wanted to say yes right there because that was my heart. I'd been crying out to God. God, I want to be used. Use me. do something. And I was ministering. I was ministering all the time in the jails. I'd go Tuesday nights. Lori and I went to the Tarrant County Jail. And then Saturdays, going down to the federal prison, be ministering for hours. Just wherever, you know, outreach, we'd go out and witness. But I wanted to be, I was not satisfied. I was not content. I was not fulfilled. And I wanted to be used of God more. And so Pastor asked me, what about you? And I wanted to say yes. But I knew with Pastor, I had to say, well, I'll pray about it. Because, you know, you got to pray. With Pastor, you've got to pray. You've got to know it's God. And I tell you, whatever you do for God, whatever you do for God, you need to pray. You need to get a word from God. Because just like we were talking about this morning, when you make a stand for God, you know, I mean, maybe one or two people might applaud, but not many. And then the devil is going to come challenge you. And if you don't have a word from God, you don't have a word from God, he's going to knock your block off. He's going to knock your block off. So I said, I'll pray about it. So Lori and I, we were going on vacation. I finally had gotten out of debt, so we were going to go on a vacation. We bought a tent, and we went up to Yellowstone National Park. And we were sitting in the tent, and God gave me a word out of the word. He said, be strong and courageous and do it. Do the work. Fear not, nor be dismayed. I will be with you for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. 1 Chronicles 28:20-21. And I said, okay, thank you, Lord. I got my word. So I went back to Pastor. That word will keep you. A word from God will keep you. It'll be an anchor to your soul. It'll be an anchor to your soul. So I went back and I told Pastor, I got a word, Pastor. I got a word out of the word. And he said, praise God, come on. So I went to the person I was working for at the time and I told him what was in my heart and what had happened. He said, he was born again too. Matter of fact, as a side trail, I went and got that job that I've testified about that I knew nothing about, real estate appraisal business, when we first started having First Fruits, and I got in the business and everybody was getting out of it. When I went and talked to that guy, I put together my resume and I put together my degree from TCU in business administration and all this stuff. But at the bottom of it, I put graduate Calvary Cathedral International Bible College. When I went in and interviewed for that job with that guy, all he wanted to talk about was the Bible and Calvary Cathedral Bible College. I'm telling you, God can make a way. God can make a way. So I went back to that guy and said, this is what's been on my heart, and here's an opportunity that's opened, and I got a word from God, and he said, you go, and if you ever want to come back, here, we got a place for you. And I said, thank you, sir. And God bless you. Hadn't seen him since. Hallelujah. And so I came and went on staff at Calvary Cathedral International on August 15th of 1993. 26 years ago this August, being the business administrator. And that's how I had a righteous dissatisfaction in what I was doing. And I was calling out to God. I was crying out for God to use me. And let me tell you, God will use anybody. Okay. God will use anybody. If he'll use me, he'll use anybody. I'm telling you what. He will use anybody. Because from where I came from and what I was getting into, it was like, are you kidding me? God will use anybody. And it was all because of God's mercy. It's all because of God's mercy. One of the greatest joys in life is being used by God for a purpose greater than yourself. One of the greatest joys in life is being used by God for a purpose greater than yourself. Really, nothing comes close to that. Nothing comes close to that. Nothing compares to the feeling of being used by God for the purpose He created you for. For the purpose He created you for. When you know that you're in the moment of being used by God for a purpose bigger than you, you just go, wow, this is it. This is why I was born. Totally satisfied, totally fulfilled, never looked at another thing, didn't want to, totally satisfied. You just go, God, this is why I'm alive. I get it. I understand. This is my place in life. I know why I'm here. I know why I was made. We are made, ladies and gentlemen, for far more than just living for ourselves. I appreciate those few amens, but it should have gotten a better one than that. We are made for far more than just living for ourselves. If we are just living for ourselves, we're going to be frustrated. We're going to be disappointed. We're going to get bored with life. I can't stand bored. That's what's going to happen if you're living for yourself. We all need something bigger than ourselves, something that pulls us out of ourselves, something that makes us greater than ourselves. If you think your purpose in life is just to get an education, to get money so you can retire and then die, that ain't it. God has a plan for your life. I said, God has a plan for your life. No matter who you are, no matter what your background is, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You were made for far more than just boom, 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 and then boom. Your life is more significant than your career. Yes, amen. Your significance is in who you are and what you have in Christ, of course. Your value is in who you are, not in what you do. You were made for eternal purposes. We, as born-again believers, are made for eternal purposes. God wants to use all of us in this room in supernatural ways. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time. I mean, he's coming back. It's in the news what people are doing to these babies. Ladies and gentlemen, and these are politicians, these are the leaders of our country, and this is what's happening. That shows the moral fiber, the moral makeup of our country. Ladies and gentlemen, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And it's time to do the work of the ministry. It's time to be about our Father's business because there's not much time left. You say, well, I've heard that. Like Pastor always says, well, I've heard that. Well, it's true. It's true. If any of this is true, that is true too. If you're trusting your life on this, then that is true too. He's coming back very soon. I hope it's before my next sentence. But you know, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm ready, aren't you? Are you ready? Is anybody not ready? We will pray. You need to be ready because He's coming back. It's easy now. You know, we talk about how hearts are open right now. I'm telling you what, when the church is taken out of here, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. You want to eat, you get this, you do all that. Oh, well. So God wants to use you. God has a plan for your life. You were born to serve God. You were born to worship God. You were born to fellowship with God. That's why God made us. He wanted to have a family. And I want you to know God can use anybody. 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 Why? Because of his mercy. Romans 6:13. Neither yield, I'll wait just for a second. Romans 6:13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. One translation says this: give yourselves completely to God. Every part of you, because you've been brought from death to life, and now you want to be used by God for good and for his righteous purposes. I love that. Give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, because you've been brought from death to life. And now you want to be used by God for good and for his righteous purposes. But a lot of people think that God could never use them. A lot of people think that God could use her or him, or God could bless that person, but God could never do that with me. People either feel disqualified or unqualified. But both of those are a lie from the devil. I said both of those are a lie from the devil. People will feel disqualified because of their past. You know, because nobody knows better than us the mistakes we've made, the sins we've made, committed, the stuff that didn't work out right in our lives. So you think, you know, well, I know all that about me, so God knows all about that. You know, God knows all that about me, so God can't use me. But God can use a lot of other people. But I'm disqualified because of all those things that I did. That's what a lot of people think. But that's just not right. That's wrong thinking. I said that's not right. That's wrong thinking. God can use you. And some people that don't feel disqualified feel unqualified. Well, I don't have their talents. I'm not anointed like them. I don't have the education like them. I don't have the upbringing. I don't have the money. Yanny, 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 yanny. So we end up making decisions that we're either disqualified or unqualified to be used from God based on stuff that is just the lies of the devil. And it's just simply not so. Those excuses are not true. They're lies. They're lies of the devil. God wants to use you in ways that you've never even imagined. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, to be about the Father's business. The business, the Father's business of saving lives through the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. God wants to use you. I was reading yesterday, and I don't know what I'm doing with this, so I got way too much. I was reading yesterday, and in the book of Acts, I was reading in Acts 7:22 where it says Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. And then it's like, I caught it. He was mighty in words and deeds. He was learned in all the things of the Egyptians. But that's not what it says in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. In Exodus 4:10, he said, how can I go? God, how can you use me? I can't talk. I can't say these words. And I went, wait a minute. In the New Testament, it says he could. He was learned in these words. But when he was talking to God, he told him, I'm not learned in words. And so, of course, I had to dig into that and look into that a little bit. Most people think, most scholars think, that Moses was just lying to God in Exodus chapter 4. Moses told God he wasn't eloquent or he was not a man of words. Some say Moses was running from God, running from the call of God on his life, saying, God, not me. Send somebody else, but not me. Send them, but not me. But I don't believe, I don't think he lied to God like that. I think what he was saying, now this is Charlie theology. So this is not based on anything other than what I believe God showed me. I believe Moses, being raised and educated in Pharaoh's household, was mighty in the words of the Egyptians. He could talk about the things of the world. He was educated in the finest institutions of the world of that day. I mean, he was in Pharaoh's household. He was raised with the best, but he could not talk about the things of God. You may be able to talk about the things of the world. I don't know. You know, what's the latest this and the latest that and all of that? All the latest this and all the latest that, that tomorrow will be old hat, you know? But God will anoint you to declare the works of the Lord to this generation if you'll let him. Somebody ought to get excited about that. God will anoint you to speak the oracles of God if you'll ask him. God will anoint you to proclaim the truth of God's word. When you open your mouth and proclaim the gospel to your generation, people will rejoice and give glory to God. People will want to hear that. You know, people actually want to see the church succeed. But they look at the church and they say, well, you know, they're not succeeding or this or that, or, you know, I don't want to be like a hypocrite down at the church. But, you know, they don't understand that God's judge, the mark that God uses to judge the world is not the hypocrite down at the church. It's God's perfect standard. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe God's going to use the young people of this church to speak to their generation, Dan, Ashley. I believe he's going to use the young people of this church to catch people, to stand literally between heaven and hell and catch people and snatch them out of going to hell in the name of Jesus. God sent us to be a deliverer. I believe that God used Moses, that just as God used Moses to deliver his people, God's going to use you and these young people that are here to deliver this generation. And they're going to see signs and wonders and miracles. I'm believing for signs and wonders and miracles in the name of thy holy child, Jesus. But in order to do that, we must turn from the world, and all of y'all have done that tonight. Because there's only 100 million people watching those guys kick around that pigskin. In order to be used from God in that way, you've got to turn from the world and you've got to turn to God. Moses, the Bible says when he saw that bush burning and not consumed, the Bible says he turned aside to see what was happening. And the Bible says when he turned aside, God called him by his name. I want you to know God will speak to you very clearly if you will turn aside from the world and turn to God. God will speak to you and God will use you just like he did Moses. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants you to hear his voice. I said, God wants you to hear his voice. He wants you to understand his thoughts. He wants you to speak his words. God wants you to speak of his signs and his wonders and his miracles. Hallelujah. And God is raising, I believe God's raising up a generation that will not resist the Holy Ghost, that will go forth in the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The mercy of God. The mercy of God. As God was with Moses, so he will be with anyone that will turn from the world and turn to him. As God was with Moses, so will he be with you. God will tell you what to say. Remember, Moses asked him, said, well, what am I going to do? You don't worry about it. I'm going to go with you. Well, what am I going to say? You just say, I am that I am sent you. I'm telling you, when you ask God what to say, he'll just tell you. I'll tell you what to say when it's time. He'll be with you. Hallelujah. So, well, but that's Old Testament. Okay, how about the Apostle Paul? By the power of the Holy Ghost, he wrote almost half the New Testament. He planted churches everywhere, all over the Roman Empire. God used the Apostle Paul in a supernatural way. It would be hard to argue that God used anybody more than the Apostle Paul, yet the Apostle Paul had a pretty amazing background. You know, if we think we're unqualified, if we think we're disqualified, you think about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a first century terrorist. He killed people. He killed Christians on purpose. He killed Christians on purpose. I'm telling you, but it just takes one moment with God. All this stuff that's going on in our nation, it just takes one word from God to turn them around. It would just take one dream and one night from God to turn it around. It would just take one moment when somebody starts writing on that wall to get your attention. God knows how to get our attention, ladies and gentlemen. So, to be used by God, the first principle to being used by God is to remember that it's all about God's mercy. The reason he will use you is because of his mercy. His mercy. It's because of God's mercy. Mercy is undeserved forgiveness. I love grace, but I want to be consumed with mercy. Oh, the mercy of Almighty God. Undeserved forgiveness. Unearned kindness. Undeserved forgiveness and unearned kindness. The mercy of Almighty God. Undeserved forgiveness and unearned kindness. Undeserved forgiveness is when somebody forgives you and you don't deserve it. Amen or oh me. Undeserved forgiveness is when somebody forgives you and you don't deserve it. That is mercy. And that's what God is. He said, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Unearned kindness, when someone shows you a kindness and you can't pay them back, that's mercy. God treats us with mercy every moment of our lives. His mercies, ladies and gentlemen, are new every morning. Everything that God does in us is because of His mercy. Everything that God does for us is because of His mercy. And everything that God does through us is because of His mercy. It's all because of His mercy. Not our merit, not our smarts, not our goodness, not our talent. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's because of His mercy. Amen. It's all because of His mercy. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, God in His mercy has given us this ministry and work to do. Let me turn there. I've got a scripture. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Let me read it to you in the King James. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. One translation says, God in His mercy has given us this ministry and work to do. Ministry is a work to do. Work to do is ministry. You can just spell ministry, W-O-R-K. It simply means to serve. That's why we don't become discouraged. That's why we don't ever give up. God has given us this ministry and work to do through His mercy. Everybody has a ministry. Every person, every born-again believer is a minister. Look, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 20. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit. Okay, we've all got the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? It is that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Aren't you thankful? Hallelujah. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. God wants every person to be a minister. Not every person to be a pastor. That's different. The fivefold ministry is different. But every one of us, every born-again believer, is a minister. The ministry and the word, servant and service, are the same. God has given us this work. In His mercy, He has given us this work to do. He has given us this ministry. We were created to make this contribution in our life. We weren't made to just sit here and take up space on this earth. We weren't made to just live for ourselves. Amen? He created us for something much, much bigger. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, and I use it a lot in offering teachings, that He gives us the power to get wealth to establish His covenant. We are to be about our Father's business to establish His covenant. Hallelujah. And it's all because of His mercy. Now, there's a lot of benefits to that, and I'm going to just say this. When you understand God shows you mercy every moment of your life and that He loves you unconditionally, even when you blow it, He's still going to show you mercy. That does a couple of things. First, when you understand God's mercy, you realize that you don't have to prove your worth to anyone. You don't have to prove your worth to anyone. That relieves pressure. It's not about you. It's not about you. Your worth has nothing to do with your work. Your value has nothing to do with your valuables. It's the fact that you are a child of God and He has given you this ministry by his mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's some other things. Let me give you just a couple of more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul wrote a letter to Timothy. He was a young man, Timothy was, who was a pastor at Ephesus, and he writes a letter to Timothy, and he says, I thank Christ Jesus because he trusted me and gave me, now it's a gift, he gave me this work of saving him, of serving him, the ministry, serving God. God has given you a gift, ladies and gentlemen, of serving him. Hallelujah. Galatians 1:13, Paul said, you know what I was like before I followed Christ, how I violently persecuted Christians. I did my best to get rid of them. He killed Christians, you know. But then something happened. Hallelujah. Then something happened. For it pleased God in his kindness to choose me and to call me. Hallelujah. Because God has chosen and called you. Even before I was born, before you were born, ladies and gentlemen, he chose you and he called you. That's mercy. That's the mercy of Almighty God. Before you were even born, God had that plan for your life. Before you were born, he had decided what he wanted you to do with your life. He knew. God knows what you're going to do, and he knows what I'm going to do. He still loves us. His mercy, oh, it's unending. The Bible says he's merciful. He's full of mercy. Okay. Let me wind it up. God wants to use you. God wants to use you to tell people that God loves them. We are his body on this earth. We are his voice on this earth. We are his hands and feet on this earth. We are the body of Christ. And God wants to use us. God wants to use you. And you can go through the Bible and you can just start looking at the people that God used. And let me just share a couple of these people with you. And just think about this. God wants to use you. I said, God wants to use you. God used Abraham when Abraham was really, really old. 100 years old, getting on up there. Actually, he was about 90 when God started using him, and nothing really kicked in till he was about 100. And you know, some of you may think you've wasted a lot of time, but not like Abraham. I mean, not as much as Abraham did, but I want you to know that you haven't wasted any time. God never wastes anything. God, nothing is ever lost in God. Nothing is ever lost. When I came to God, or when God changed my life in 1985, I was 32, almost 33 years old. And I said, God, I've wasted all this time in my life. And he said, no. He said, I will restore to you the years that the devil has stolen from you. And I want you to know he can do in a day what it will take you to do and what it takes years for us to do. He can give you favor with someone and in an instant do what you've been working all your life to do. Nothing is ever wasted with God. Nothing. He used Jacob, and he was a liar all the time. God used him. Jacob ran away from every difficult situation that came to him. God used him. Leah, the Bible says, was unattractive, but God used her. She just wasn't attractive, is what it says. Joseph, he was abused. Gideon was poor. He was like the poorest kid in his family, and his family was the poorest family in all the land. But he used Gideon. Samson, he couldn't, you know his problems. Girls, girls, and more girls. But God used him. Rahab was a prostitute, and God used her. Hallelujah. Rahab shows up in God's hall of fame in Hebrews 11 as a great woman of faith. He used her in spite of her mistakes. He will use us in spite of ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Jonah was fearful and reluctant. Elijah was suicidal. I'm the only one, God. Naomi was used by God. She was an elderly widow. Jeremiah was always depressed and always crying. They called him the weeping prophet because he was always crying, but God used him. David had an affair and then killed his mistress's husband. My, you would think that would disqualify you. But David wrote the book of Psalms, and God said, he's a man after my own heart. God used him in a great way. John the Baptist, he was fairly, camel's hair and locusts and wild honey, that's different. He used him. Amen. Peter was impulsive and had anger management problems. You got a problem with your temper? Okay, God will use you. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout in here. God wants to use you. Martha worried a lot, but God used her. If you're a worry wart, God will use you. God doesn't want you to worry. There's a better way. There's a higher calling in God, but he'll still use you. The Samaritan woman had a few failed marriages, but God used her. Zacchaeus, he was kind of a scam artist, but God used him. Thomas had doubts. Timothy was timid. Moses, David, and Paul were all guilty of murder in their past, but God used them. Glory to God. So what's our excuse? What's our excuse? Listen. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Every saint has a past. That guy that you think, oh, he's got it all together, he's a godly man, that woman, she's a saint. Every saint has a past. Everybody has messed up. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all flawed. We've all fumbled the ball, ladies and gentlemen. We've all messed up. We all have a past. But it's under the blood if you're a born-again believer. The past is past. Let the past be past at last. Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. That's because of the mercy of Almighty God. It doesn't matter how bad you've messed up. God says, I want to use you for good. He remembers your sins and your iniquities no more. Hallelujah. Let me read one more scripture to you. One more scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. One translation says, it is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives in Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, this was before any of us were born, long ago, he planned that we should spend these lives watching television. No, that we should spend these lives helping other people. That's our work to do, ladies and gentlemen. It's the work of the ministry. It's about being about our Father's business. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shibarabasa karabasa. Never forget, God wants to use you, and it's by his mercy that he wants to use you. Hallelujah. Ibarabasa karabasa. Let's pray right now. Come on, let's lift our voices and pray unto God. Ibarabasa karabasa karabasa. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's because of your mercies, oh God, that we're not consumed. It's because of your mercies that we're not consumed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. We thank you, Father God, that you have a plan for our lives, that you love us and you have a plan and a purpose for our lives in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's just stand up and thank God for the mercy of God. Let's stand up and thank God for the mercy of God, Almighty God.
Hallelujah. Forever.
Yes, hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah.
Father, we thank you. Your mercies are new every morning to
you're
us. Hallelujah. Morning. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace and mercy upon our lives, God. We thank you, God, that you knew us, that you called us before the foundations of the world. We're like, oh, how could it be? It's all because of his mighty love for us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your plan that you have for our lives. We thank you, God, that you love us anyway. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing love and your amazing grace. Oh, thank you, God, for ordering our steps. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for going before us and preparing the ways. Hallelujah.
You know what I want everybody to do? I'd like for everybody to come down to the front. Let's pray together for a moment. Everybody, just come on down to the front just for a moment. Let's pray together as we close tonight. All the way down to the front. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Oh, Father, we're so thankful, God, because of your mercy.